Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Wallet Wisdom, a podcast presented by LMCU. If you're new to the show or been listening for a while now, Wallet Wisdom is designed to help break down some of banking's more complex and confusing questions. I'm your host, Brett, and I can't wait to dive into today's episode. Well, again, thank you so much, Bill, for being here. I am super excited to have you on today's Wallet Wisdom episode. And I mean, I think it's that season right now of taxes and everyone's thinking about what do I do and how do I use it? So what better way to start off kind of our year now with our podcasting than to be able to talk a little bit more about that. But, you know, Bill, I'd love for people to get to know you a little bit, if you don't mind sharing a little bit about who you are, what you do for us at the credit union, and maybe even how long you've been here.
Sure thing. You got it. So thanks for having me first and foremost, Brett. Super happy to be here. When I've seen the previous Wallet Wisdoms, they're always a lot of fun. So I'm glad to be a part of it. So thank you for that. Bill Turner, again, district manager down in Southwest Florida, which really encompasses basically Port Charlotte or Charlotte County down through the Naples area. We have two district managers down here now because Damaris Vimola, my counterpart, covers just Collier County now, and I have Charlotte County and Lee County. So I have eight branches that I'm personally responsible for now. Used to be 13, but after we segmented it, it's now eight branches. I've been with LMCU now for over 5 years, believe it or not. It doesn't seem like it's been over 5 years, but I've been in banking for 30 years. I kind of went straight into banking when I graduated from the University of Florida. I went straight into banking for an old bank called SunTrust Bank, which used to be a really big bank down in the Southeast. And then they got bought out and consumed, as a lot of banks do. And so I've now been with LMCU now for more than 5 years. But in my role as district manager, I basically oversee our eight branches specific to my counties and just do my best to make sure that I support and advocate for our teams on a daily basis and make sure that the branches truly have what they need to be successful, whether that be resources, development, training, whatever the case may be, and just do my best to make sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to make member service our priority and make sure that we can also grow the business down here as well.
Oh, man, I love that. And, you know, it's funny, BT, because you say you've been here for about 5 years. I've been here for almost nine, but I feel like my entire time here, I've known you. So it seems crazy that it's only been 5 years.
Yes, but, it does. It does. Yeah.
Again, but for listeners, truly, I've had such a privilege of being able to work with BT on other leadership kind of events and his approach to how he leads both his teams and showing up for them and for the community and those branches and those members has just been really incredible. So we're excited to have you on. I'm excited to have you on. And so again, a big thank you to you for making some time. So, but hey, to start things off, you know, I know tax season is really on everybody's mind right now. You know, our last episode, we kind of made a little mention of like, you know, hey, if you haven't been thinking about filing, it's coming quick. So you might want to do that sooner than later, right? But, you know, from your perspective, what are kind of those kind of the biggest missed opportunities maybe that people might have when it comes to using their tax returns, especially in that strategic time and thinking about, you know, finances right now are a little tight for everyone. So how can we be really intentional and strategic with maybe using those strategies?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks. So I will say this. I think a lot of people make the mistake, in my opinion, of seeing a tax return as being a bonus, right? Like, you know, you get a big bonus this year. This is the government's bonus to you for just being a taxpaying citizen. And I get that. I do. And when I was younger, in my youth, I kind of felt the same way, where you take that money and you say, woohoo, let's go play. Right. So unfortunately, though, as we become older and adults and have families and other things to take care of, responsibilities, I think the missed opportunity a lot of people have when it comes to their tax returns is not trying to at least set aside a pretty good portion of that tax return to truly focus on important items that you have to take care of, that you need to take care of, and aren't necessarily based upon what you really want to take care of. You know, I tell my sons are now grown, but all throughout their childhood, I always, you know, talked about the differences between wants and needs, right?
Yeah.
And wants and needs almost never, ever coincide. I mean, that's just human nature, and that's okay.
Right.
The key is really focusing on being disciplined. Discipline is the primary word there to use, and make sure that you're utilizing your tax return for things that truly benefit you. Maybe not from an inner happiness today, but certainly will lead to a much larger inner happiness you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, which is, you know, focused upon making sure that you're financially stable as you move forward in your lifetime.
Yeah, it's interesting too that you bring that up about the future state of your affairs, because we were talking about that just in the last episode when we're just talking about being mindful about our finances and how we can maybe work on maybe de-stressing ourselves when we think about finances and what causes some of that. And I think you hit it right on the head. We were talking about how sometimes it's just changing that mindset, reframing that mindset a little to say, what is it that I need to do for my future self now that if I don't start today, you know, I won't be able to reap the benefits of? And so,
No. Yeah.
You're right. It's really starting to flip the script. And I'm in the same boat as you, BT. You know, when I first started to file my taxes and I would get this, you know, nice little check at the end of, or the beginning of the year, you're like, awesome. What can I go, you know, spend it on and splurge it on? And now, you know, with, I've got a soon-to-be college-bound student, and my son is turning 16, and, you know, licenses and insurances and everything's tight, you know, really being more strategic. And unfortunately, right, we got to grow up a little bit.
No, absolutely. We can't have
fun, right?
Yeah, so. For sure. Yeah.
For sure.
No, I was going to say the discipline is definitely the key, for sure.
Discipline.
But that's everything we do, right? You know, again, we as humans, look, our teams, you know, here at OMCU, our teams, we work hard. We've got team members that, you know, work well over 40 hours a week. Some salaried employees, I know for fact, are right. 50, 60 hours a week. We work hard. And human nature says that you get to a point where it's kind of like, man, I need to take a break, right?
Let the hair down, right?
Right. And that's where PTO kicks in, and you think, okay, what I'm gonna do on PTO? Well, man, I'm gonna use my tax return to go on this awesome vacation, and that's great. But the discipline side of things still says that, you know, maybe don't use all the tax return on that vacation, or maybe scale down the vacation a little bit so that you can utilize some of that tax return you got back to actually focus on other things, which again, won't give you any innate, you know, positive feel today, but it will 10, 15 years from now. And we always have to be thinking about kind of where we're going to be in the future, you know, not just as an organization, but as individuals as well. And that's really where that discipline comes in as a key item.
Yeah. Well, and I think you really helped transition to the next kind of topic again about like, how do we make our tax returns work harder for us? Right.
Sure.
And like you were saying, you know, maybe it's just about finding some like middle ground or some moderacy to the approach of, yeah, go have fun. You know what? If you want to, you know, have a nice dinner out and whatever, use a couple hundred dollars, but being strategic of saying, I'm not going to go spend all of it on vacation. Instead, maybe I need to think about padding my emergency fund that is non-existent, right? You know, what are some other first steps or first moves that maybe listeners can start kind of wrapping their head around when thinking about spending their money?
Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to the first steps, I think for me, throughout my lifetime anyway, I think the biggest thing that I've always wanted to do from an initial let's take care of this standpoint is all of your high interest debt, right? And so for us, you know, typically high interest debt usually means your credit cards 9 times out of 10. And, you know, so I usually kind of segment a lot of my bonus money, if you will, towards that, you know, so the tax return and that kind of thing, trying to knock down a good portion of that. And the reason I focus on the high interest debts, especially credit cards, first is that with credit card debt, you know, I think what a lot of people lose focus on and lose track of is that, you know, let's say your credit card that you have, you know, not with us, but, you know, with another entity, let's say, you know, something exorbitant, like 25%, you know, because that's not uncommon. If your interest rate on your debt is 25%, I think people say, oh my gosh, I'm taking this hit this month. But what they forget, I think often this happens, is that debts, when it comes to your interest rates, compound just like your savings interest do, right? So, you get, you know, let's say you get charged, you know, $500 for interest this month. You're, oh God, that hurt. Well, that $500 now also will be, you know, reserving interest on the next month as well, which means that it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And this big, ugly ball of, you know, of nastiness, which is that high interest debt, it just expands at an exponential rate. And I think people kind of lose sight of that. So I always like to try to hack away at that first, especially when I was younger, you know, if that were the case. But then the other thing too is, and you actually brought it up and you hit it perfectly, it's your emergency fund, right? It's your emergency savings. We here at LMCU, we use a really neat app when we do some financial literacy with our teams out in the public. And that it's an app called Bite of Reality. And I, and in fact, actually, I think recently, I think we've actually rebranded it to our own, you know, kind of LMCU Bite of Reality. But it's interesting that that app is, it's basically, for lack of a better term, it's a game, but it's a neat game. It's an online game, you know, on your phone, on your app. And it's targeted towards young people and also adults who have not really had a lot of financial training in their lives yet. But what's interesting about that app, and this is where the emergency savings comes in, is that there's this little thing that happens as you're, you know, so the app makes you budget, say, okay, we're going to spend this much on room and board this month. We're going to spend this much on food. We're going to spend, you know, this much on, you know, entertainment, because everybody, again, needs that release each month. But what inevitably happens is you're going through this exercise, this window pops up and it's called the fickle finger of fate. And it's actually, it's a great thing because it, you know, what it does on the app is it says like, oh, good gracious, you had a blown out tire on the way to work today. You know, that's $250, you know, sure. Or it'll say, oh my gosh, your son fell off the swing set today. That's a $1,500, you know, ER visit.
Medical, right, right.
Right. Because, you know, and sadly, these things are the things that happen. That's just, again, we're humans. This all happens to all of us. We don't like to talk about it, but it does.
It does.
And so that emergency savings account is something super, super important to kind of keep off to the side, if you will, maybe in its own share, its own account, just to make sure that you don't, you know, kind of tap into that. Because that is literally for, you know, back in the day, we used to call it a rainy day. Well, rainy days aren't rainy anymore. They're thunderstorms, lightning, and everything.
Yeah. It's a hurricane.
It is very much know? So. Right. Yeah. Yeah,
it is.
And, but it's a really neat, or really good thing, I should say, to do is kind of focus on that emergency savings account as well. And then really with that, so again, your discipline for your high interest credit, you know, and then also your emergency savings. And then there are other, obviously, segments that you want to focus on as well. And I'm sure we'll probably talk about this soon in this podcast about the envelope methodology, which is something that I've always practiced when I was younger and still honestly still do to this day. And that's something that we'll kind of lead into that as well.
Yeah, well, and actually that's a really great point to bring up, because I was going to mention as well, you know, so part of my job, right, is to go out and capture our members' stories and really understand, you know, just how LMCU is impacting their lives and how they use our products, right? And, you know, one of our earlier on member stories we had on, she was telling us that she does like the envelope system, but virtually, because LMCU, one of the cool things, and I know I'm not telling you because you know, but for listeners, LMCU has free shares, up to 99 of these sub-savings accounts, essentially, all shares, but they're, a lot of other places will tend to like charge more for more of those sub-savings accounts and whatnot.
Without a doubt.
Right? And so that's something that we don't do, so that you can really get granular in your savings, your emergency fund. Maybe you are saving for a vacation. You can set that up and right and just channel your money into these envelopes. But, you know, I think for listeners that may not have understood maybe what that envelope system is and how that relates to the virtual side, I'd love for you to share more about that if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah. So the reason we call it the envelope methodology or the envelope system. So again, back when I was younger, still driving a horse and buggy to work.
Oh, you too.
we didn't have obviously online tools, and certainly not a phone that could do anything to have an app along those lines. So we literally used paper envelopes. And so what would end up happening is, so let's, you know, you got some cash out of the bank from your paycheck that week, and you brought it home, and we would have envelopes. You know, there would be the dinner out envelope. There would be the credit card payment envelope. There would be the emergency envelope again, and they were all labeled, and you would put a certain amount of money into each of those envelopes. But this is where the discipline comes in. This is why it was key to always have discipline, or else the envelope method didn't work. So you open up the envelope that was like, let's go out to dinner, right? You know, so you had $50 in there, let's say. So, you know, the two of us would go out and we'd have dinner out one night. And it was, you know, it's about $50 with tip. And, you know, again, this is a long time ago. Can't do that anymore.
I was gonna say, that's like one person going out now.
Exactly. But then what happened is, so the next night you come home, it's like, I really don't feel like cooking tonight. Let's open up the, you know, dinner out envelope. Well, guess what? There's no money left.
Yeah.
So the discipline where it comes in is you have to tell yourself, well, looks like we're cooking at home tonight. We're eating peanut butter and jelly. I mean, seriously, because
you're right.
That's the way it works. You know, so the beauty of the envelope system, again, if you adhere to it from a discipline standpoint, is that it, you literally are telling yourself, hey, you don't have the money to spend on this. Now, the discipline kicks in because obviously, you know, there's money in the emergency envelope. You know, there's money in the rent envelope. But you don't want to dip in and grab that out just to go out to dinner tonight because you didn't feel like cooking dinner. That's not the theory. That's not what you're trying to do. Because inevitably, if you do that, then you're going to hurt some other aspect of you so that when you get to the end of the month, well, crap, I can't pay rent this month.
Right.
Why? Well, because we've been out four times for dinner when we only should have gone out one, right? I mean, yeah, and that's where the discipline comes in. The beauty of our share system, which I'm so happy you said that, Brett, is that our shares online, the way we can set them up, our members can set them up, is that basically your shares act as envelopes, right? You know, so share 11 is now, you know, an account that you have segmented specifically for rent this month. Share 12 is that's your dinner money. That's your play money. Share 13 might be vacation fund, you know, and so you're going to save up all year long so you can go on a neat cruise for the first time, you know. And that's where the envelope methodology comes into play. And as when I was younger, again, truly, honest to God, paper envelopes back then, the beauty of it was if you opened up the envelope and there was no money in the envelope, you literally told yourself, well, that's it. That's the only pot I have for this, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So again, honey, it looks like we're cooking dinner at home tonight, you know, and what it did do is it makes you somewhat regimented, but in a good way regimented, to where that becomes normal. So you start telling yourself and it becomes a normal part of your routine. Hey, we eat out once a month. That's what we do. That's what we can afford. And that's okay. So when you have that one night every month, that was awesome. That was a celebration. Like, woo, let's do it. You know, so yeah, it made it even more special. And I think that's really where the envelope methodology comes into play and works really, really well for people. But again, you have to adhere to the methodology and be disciplined in doing so, or else there's just no sense even working with it.
Yeah. And you know, I think for some that are listening, I mean, I can speak to that even myself, where discipline can be difficult. And there are those times where more and more these days where it's like, I can just transfer a little here, or I'll just put that maybe on a credit card and
absolutely,
it's just one more meal, right? Yep. And it's funny because again, for those that are listening regularly, if you're turning into our last episode and those maybe that haven't, we talked about that financial mindfulness and how much less stressful it is when you know that you're budgeted for it and you're not later on thinking, oh, I don't know, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I can't pay for my credit card the way that I had wanted to, or you put yourself in that spot. When you know you can go out to eat and it's been budgeted, you can go out celebratory and in a more joyful kind of attitude to know, I don't need to be stressed about this. I budgeted for this. I planned for this. I can enjoy this fully without feeling regret or shame for, you know, taking money where you shouldn't have and rebudgeting and that kind of space. So now I do know that there are some tools that might be options for people that are a little bit more discipline adverse to kind of maybe help, maybe just tap your hand to say, no, don't grab that out of the pot. Now, can those that are setting up shares, can there be some parameters to say, hey, I'm going to put money in there, but I got to have authorization to pull it out?
So yeah, that is possible. Yeah. And that's a really good point. So, you know, and it's interesting. So especially if it's like a joint account kind of scenario.
Right.
That's the thing. Right. So, you know, both of you have to approve that move the movement of money and stuff like that. And quite honestly, that's important too, because trust me, from a relationship standpoint, I mean this, you know, it keeps everything above board. You know, you're not trying to sneak anything past or behind someone. So that's a very, very good point in your part as well. Yeah. So no, for sure. And again, it does, what it does, it's just like, so when people, you know, go work out at a gym, right? When you talk to people who like, man, I go Monday through Friday every week right after work and I'm committed. I'm driven. Usually yeah. 9 times out of 10, those people have an accountability partner, right? So there's a person they work out with. Reason why that helps is because that accountability partner, you know, you don't show up to the gym at 5:30 on, you know, Monday and they say, hey, where you at, man? And it's like, oh, you know, this happened. No. Get over here. Get your butt in the gym. And it works the same way with these envelopes, right? Or the shares in this scenario where your accountability partner is the person with you on that account. And, you know, she or he says, no. What are you doing? No, let's. Right. You know, we need to be smart about this and keep this budgeted for next month, whatever the case may be. So that's a good point.
Yeah. And again, and that's for listeners that that may struggle with that, right? And you just know that habit is not formed yet. And that may be the end, like that's the solution temporarily. But to your point too, BT, is that the goal is as you start to build habits, you start to build a rhythm and a routine, you start to find that you start managing that a little bit easier and it's less stressful and it becomes a lot easier to say yes and no to things as you kind of get more familiar with that. So really, really good stuff. So, you know, again, that I think helps for those that are listening to start thinking of ways that as you're thinking of getting these tax returns, how can I really start to, you know, use this in a more positive and a more beneficial way? You know, as that kind of on that same kind of topic, I guess, what are, I guess, a couple of easy, simple wins that people might be able to accomplish with their tax return that could set them up for that long time, you know, difference? And again,
no, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So again, for me individually, I would always say that the first win I always focused on was knocking out that high interest debt again, as much as you could. Certainly don't segment all of it to that, but a good portion of it, because again, it's a sneaky demon, right? It lurks behind you and it just keeps compounding and compounding and it will never go away. I mean, I had friends, you know, not that long ago who were literally paying only their minimum payment on a credit card, which 9 times out of 10 covered just the interest that you were charged. So the problem was the principal never, ever got paid down. And so again, it just kept compounding, rolling and snowballing into this nasty, you know, ball of just extra debt. And it's interesting, if you ever look at the front page of a credit card statement, which is, and it's actually a really neat tool, but I think people ignore it and don't pay attention to it, is that it actually states on there, you know, paying just the minimum. Well, mm-hmm. you know, over time, you know, I think it says 5, 10 years, whatever, every institution is different, but they'll say like, you actually end up paying. Well, when you say, okay, I've got 15,000 in debt, but then you look at the 15,000 in debt and it says, but over the course of the next 10 years, if you only make the minimum payment, you're paying $95,000. All of a sudden, you're paying $80,000 that you never borrowed, and nor did you ever utilize, right? And that's the kind of stuff that really, it really puts a shock into the system. So I always say that's kind of the first win. But other wins too, I think, you know, is again, and don't focus on paying just, you know, your debt and stuff like that. But when you are saving, when you're saying, okay, here's my emergency savings for this month, right? Or maybe, again, maybe that vacation chest, if you will, you want to put those into accounts or instruments that actually pay you a higher rate of interest as well.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, trying to go for more of a higher yield kind of you know, savings product is really what people should be trying to do with that extra money, because again, much like that bad debt is compounding on you and just adding up and adding up. Well, let your money work for you over here and use a higher yield. So in other words, you know, usually when we say high yield in the financial services industry, usually that means about 4% or higher, right? And that's about kind of where the sweet spot. That's, you hear high yield, you know, in today's age anyway, it's about 4% is considered a high yield. And we have that with our max checking product. You know, I think our max checking product is the greatest banking product out there. And I preach that till the days, you know, go on. I mean, you know, it's, I do. I tell people, I was like, who else gives you 4% on a checking account? I mean, it's insane.
That's right. And, you know, it's funny too, because with that, you know, there are, of course, some others that are, that they still have some decent, you know, returns and some higher yields.
Yep.
One thing I always love to tell people is, be sure to read the fine print, because yes, they may see a similar rate, but it's also about how much the institution is willing to let you have in that saving in that checking account.
That's right to
earn that percentage. You know,
right.
4% on only $5,000 is not the same as 4% on, let's say, $15,000. Right?
No, for sure. Yeah.
You know, your earnings looks a little different, even though your percentage might. So I always like to reiterate that to listeners to kind of keep that in mind. But you're absolutely right. And it's something about this, you know, working for LMCU now for as long as I have, that max checking account. I mean, people talk about it, not just in our communities, but like nationwide, it's been written up about, because
100%.
You hit it right on the head earlier. Not a lot of places are giving that much money on a checking account. And so if you really are looking for ways to, like you said, use that money and really start earning a little bit of extra on that, there's an easy way to do that right there.
Oh, for sure. You know, and you brought up a good point too, on the max checking, about the amount that you're allowed to earn interest on. So our max checking, you can take it up to 15,000, right, at 4%.
Yeah.
Now, you have to follow some of the parameters as well. You need direct deposit. You need so many transactions, each month, that kind of thing. But we keep the requirements are actually pretty normal. So it's kind of like your normal banking habits would typically do that anyway.
Exactly.
So it's not something extreme. But what's interesting is one of our competitors, and it's funny, I was lucky enough to be in one of our lobbies where we had a member came in and he was holding up a piece of a paper clipping that he had. And it's one of our direct competitors, another CU down here in Florida. And he said, 4.5%, 4.5%. You're finally getting beat. And I said, may I please see it? And he says, absolutely. He showed it to me, you know. And I said, let's hit that asterisk, right? Let's check out that asterisk.
Yeah.
So again, we're getting 4% up to 15,000. Our direct competitor was giving 4.5% up to 2,000. Now, you think about the disparity between $15,000 and $2,000 and beyond $2,000, I think it was 0.1%. I mean, it was, you know, something.
Right.
Yeah. And I explained to him, and it was funny because his eyes just, you know, he was so happy he was coming in to tell us that someone had finally, you know, outperformed us. And then I showed him the asterisk and he said, oh, you got to be kidding me. And it was hysterical. Yeah. But my point to him was, you got to read the fine print.
You
have to. I mean, you know, and look, human nature, it's just, we see things fast and we're doing social media and things like that. We absorb media and consume it so quickly.
We do.
And we see flashes go by us. Well, I get it. When they're advertising, look, they're not dumb. They're smart like we are. That 4.5% massive, like 84-point font, you know, and like, man, it jumps right out at you. And then the asterisk, of course, is like completely different, you know, it's 6-point font. You know, you got to kind of
magnifying glass.
Right, exactly. And so that's what you absorb and that's what you consume immediately is what flashes before your eyes. And this guy's, finally got somebody.
Yeah.
And after I showed him everything, it was just so funny how it just really hit him. He said, you're right. You guys are the best. I said, we try to be. We try to be. Right.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we're wrapping up, BT, you know, there's kind of my been thinking about this a lot and we're leaving, and for listeners to be able to kind of take away is, you know, what are, I guess, those one or two things that you'd want listeners to know that could really make that financial difference this time of tax season? And maybe for those listening to kind of take a little bit more of that control back, you know, in their finances.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You and I both talked about discipline earlier in the conversation. And it's funny how I kind of, you know, compared it to going to the gym, right? And making sure you have an accountability partner. That discipline, when you focus on that, really helps bring you such a sense of peace and comfort, if you will, because you've done the right things to set yourself up to not have to be stressed about making payments this month, right? And that's really, really key. You know, as we talk about this, each individual, you know, whether you be by yourself, a couple, family unit, whatever the case may be, we all know, as long as we take the time to look at the numbers, we all know what our monthly budgets are, right? And I think when you kind of split the budget into two things, you have your fixed costs, each month, and your fixed costs are your mortgage or your rent payment, because that's the same amount every month. And you have your car payment, which is the same every month usually. And you know, those are the things, you know, those are hard fixed costs. Look, I got to be able to cover that this month, because if I don't, they're going to either kick me out of my apartment or take my car away. And that's no good. So, but as we're budgeting, right, you take those. Now your variable costs are, again, somewhat like your envelopes, right? Your variable costs are, you know, are we going out to dinner this month? You know, look, Johnny's got to have braces, and we know he's going to have braces 12 months from now. We need to start saving now, because braces are going to be super expensive. And if the orthodontist comes to us and says, here's your bill and we can't pay it, what do we do? So you have to start, you know, kind of budgeting those things, your variable costs, even ahead of time sometimes. But the fixed costs, keep your budget in mind always, because as long as you know on a monthly basis, you can handle your fixed costs. And then also some of your variable costs that are normal variables, you know, grocery store, look, going to feed your family on a monthly basis, that's a variable cost too. That's, you know, maybe look, the variable cost got a little tight this month. Maybe we go ground beef and tacos instead of prime rib tonight. I mean, that's just reality. Wow. And it's key to make sure that you're using your envelope strategies to really focus on those types of things. Because it just gives you, again, it's a sense of peace. We as humans, we kind of, everything gets bottled up inside. And look, if you're going to bed every night worried about whether or not you can pay the rent tomorrow, I mean, it just kills you. You can't sleep. It makes everything worse. Your day is bad the next day because you can't get it out of your mind. So the initial discipline up front, using the envelope methodology, making sure that you're putting money aside for emergencies that unfortunately we all know are going to happen, whether you want them to or not, it's just reality. Focusing on those things just gives you such a sense of peace so you can sleep well at night. You know that, God forbid, if anything happens tomorrow, you know, that I wasn't expecting, I can at least handle it. You know, it may mean I can't go out to dinner twice this month, but at least I can handle it, and I know I can. Those are kind of the key things to really focus on. It just, you know, look, your internal happiness is everything. And you've got to use that discipline to help kind of push you in that direction so that you do feel well at night and you feel like you can get up in the morning and not have to worry about what's going to happen that day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love what you said about how it's amazing how when financial stress starts to build, how it really can take a physical effect on your body. You don't have as much energy after a while. You feel more exhausted, and probably leads to not being able to show up for the people you want to show up for in the best ways, right? And so I almost feel like a broken record because I say this almost on every episode, but it's really true. And hopefully by now people are like, we get it, Brett. But for those that maybe are new to the podcast and are listening, if this sounds like you, if there's a situation, maybe you've just been really in a tough financial spot, come see us. Just even if you're not a member, you know, just come in and stop in, and we'd love to even just chat about it and see what we can do to help you, you know? So know that there's resources in your community. When you see that LMCU, know that that's a place that you can come and get great advice, and also really just a place where you can go in and get some perspective on your finances, right? And that's in Florida and in Michigan, all of our markets. You know, we really show up for our members in those ways. But some really exciting stuff, though, in Florida. I really have to say, BT, as we're wrapped up now, I really have been excited for the growth that we've been seeing in all of our markets in Florida. Your team is just kicking butt, which is awesome, and helping so many of our members. So if you're in the Florida area, again, in Tampa region and pretty much south all the way down to Naples and Bonita Springs, feel free, stop in. We'd love to chat. We'd love to get to know you more and see how we can really, you know, show up for you in your financial needs. So.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Thanks for having me, brother.
Absolutely, BT. Thank you. We'll have to have you on again real soon. And so again, thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
You bet.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation as much as I did. If you've got questions or ideas for future podcast episodes, be sure to drop them in the comments below. Also, if you haven't already, consider subscribing and ringing that bell to stay up to date on future episodes on YouTube. You can also like and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you on the next one.